You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
I'm Vanessa Richardson. We got Josh Beard in for Paul Gallant. As always, Sean Mapes is producing behind the glass. Josh, how you doing?
I'm doing great. I'd be doing even better if I turned my microphone on.
Yeah,
but yeah, I'm doing pretty good today. I can't believe it's already been an hour into the show. This is the longest show we've done together. The first one was only 30 minutes.
And half an hour.
It feels like it's only been half an hour doing the show with you.
Thank you.
Rate me on rate me on a scale of
11.
1 to Paul. An 11?
Oh.
On a scale of 1 to Paul, yeah.
That's a good question.
I don't like that
more will be revealed. Honey, it's been one day.
You're about to skirt this again.
More will be revealed.
I don't feel
it's
like you're ever
going to
reveal. I get it. It's fine. I understand.
It takes a while. Paul's
gone. You don't want to hurt his feelings. You don't want to say.
I can guarantee you Paul is not only he's not only not listening to the show, but he's not coherent somewhere.
Well,
I don't even know where he went.
I'm here and talking, so we both know that even if he were listening, he would be tuning me out, and so he would only be listening to half of the show.
Astros have a big day today as they take on the Yankees. That is a fun rivalry. It's good for baseball. I'm excited for those games. It's also a big day for the Houston Rockets. Guys, what are your predictions tonight as we continue to see Woj bombs popping up left and right?
Oh, I don't even know. We already saw a trade between the Detroit Pistons and the Portland Trailblazers. Jeremy Grant going to the Trailblazers. The Pistons trying to clear up cap space, get another draft pick. They got the 36th pick in tonight's draft, as well as a first rounder in 2025. We're going to see more trades. I think we saw rumors that there was, I can't remember who it is who has the 7th pick, but that team was looking to move the 7th pick for one of the players from the Toronto Raptors. We're going to see moves all over the place. I don't know. I typically have some pretty good predictions with the draft, and I thought that the top three was locked down. I thought it was for sure going to be Jabari Smith, Chet Holmgren, and then Paolo Banchero. But the Rockets, I'm losing a little faith, and not a lot, but a little faith in Rafael Stone.
Really?
I am.
Already? Why
yeah.
is that?
Well, it's been the worst kept secret in the NBA that the Rockets are in love with Banchero.
Leaked.
And I'm not a Chet Holmgren fan. I know there are some people that think he can be something in the NBA. I'm sorry. I've been burnt by tall, way too skinny players. I grew up a Dallas Mavericks fan, right? And so Sean Bradley is like, that's just etched in my memory of like, that's a disappointment. We've had so many other players that have come in the league that are as underweight as Chet Holmgren is, and they never really truly grow into, like, I think the best example of somebody growing, of like being okay, not fully growing into their weight, is Kevin Durant. But Kevin Durant's one of the most skilled players we've ever seen in the NBA. I don't think Chet Holmgren is Kevin Durant. I'm really concerned. I'm falling out of love with Rafael Stone just a little bit because of how bad of a job they've done keeping their draft pick close to the vest, and I'm worried that the Rockets are going to end up with Holmgren.
I think it's a building with a lot of leaks. You have a lot of young people. You have a lot of new people. A lot of people that are friends with the media.
Agreed.
Woj tweeting just a couple minutes ago, or excuse me, about an hour ago, as the team boards finalized today, the 1-2-3 of the NBA draft is increasingly firm per sources. Jabari Smith to Orlando, Chet Holmgren to Oklahoma City, Paolo Banchero to Houston. Sean, what say you?
I mean, the Woj tweet makes me feel a little bit better because I feel like Orlando and Jabari Smith, that is maybe the second worst kept secret in the NBA draft, second behind
agreed.
The Rockets and Banchero. It's the Thunder who are the opposite of a leaky ship. Everything's in-house, and so many people, so many experts I've heard really like Banchero. Banchero seems like kind of the like critics' favorite of these draft picks, and that's the most Sam Presti move, is to kind of, everyone thinks it's 1-2-3 locked in, and then he kind of zigs, and we're stuck talking ourselves into Chet Holmgren, which I will do if the Rockets draft Chet Holmgren.
I can't.
Here's the thing. I'm from Indiana, so I specialize in the skinny, tall, white guys.
I didn't even think about that.
That is our type. And Chet Holmgren, there's been some medical questions, right? Isn't he the one that hasn't given all of his physicals forward? There's been some questions about, is he being completely honest about what kind of shape he's in? He may be one of those guys that we see all the time that can sling it in college, and he's good and he's strong, and you think, wow, for a skinny guy. NBA is different, man.
Yep.
It's just, it's different. It's grown men, it's vets. But you never know. And you got a lot of scouts across the country that are looking at him saying that he could even be the potential number one. But that tweet from Woj makes me think that things are pretty locked up.
See, the Woj tweet doesn't really do much for if it were any other team. And to Sean's point, if it were any other team than Oklahoma City, then the Woj tweet would make me feel a little bit better. But I just we've seen Sam Presti maneuver in so many amazing ways. I mean, he is probably number one, if not number, or sorry, he's probably number two, if not number one in GMs in the NBA right now. I think I might put him at number one. He just does such a good job of maneuvering for players, getting the right player at the right time. He's always done a great job of drafting the right player in the first round, in the lottery. He's found players in the second round. And a lot of these scouts are worried, like, Chet Holmgren could be amazing. If he works out, if he can be everything that everybody wants to be, he's that high ceiling player with a really low floor, and he could be amazing. But Banchero's that dude that has a much higher floor. He has a little bit lower of a ceiling, but a much higher floor and can be a piece that helps you win a championship because he does it on defense. He's got the size. He's got the strength. He's got the shot. He has the vision. He can pass. After watching so many highlights of Banchero now and watching him versus Jabari Smith, I'm actually surprised that Banchero is not being considered number one at all and that Orlando loves Jabari Smith so much. I think Banchero has number one potential, has number one ability. And as we've seen before, people have slipped up in the draft and not taken the best player at number one overall. They've let them slip to number three, and they've taken guys like Marvin Bagley and DeAndre Ayton over Luka Doncic, whatever, it's fine. But Paolo Banchero has the ability to be that number one guy in this draft.
Mitch Trubisky.
Oh, no.
Just saw Greg Oden at a club when I was home for the Indy 500.
Oh, how was that? How's Greg doing?
He's actually good.
Are his knees good?
He's coaching now.
Is he really?
He's at a really good place. Yeah, he got married, had a kid. Very, very happy
for him.
That's
cool.
Yeah.
That does make me happy.
But like across all sports, I mean, you see it where you look back on drafts. The bottom line is that it's a guess. I mean, it's an educated guess.
Yeah.
But you have guys that their jobs, I mean, I have friends that are NBA scouts, and they have these binders, and they know the blood type.
Yeah.
Single-parent home versus double-parent home versus grandparent versus foster care. What are their favorite foods? Do they play video games? Can we trust them? They have these issues, X, Y, and Z, but does their playing well make up for that? Well, it depends on which team, right? Do you have a team like an owner like, I mean, in football, Cal McNair and the Texans that are known not to want somebody with disciplinary issues? Or do you have somebody like the Ravens and the Chiefs that are like, F it? I mean, these scouts have binders and binders of info, and they don't know if it's going to work out or not.
And as someone who, like Josh said, just watching YouTube clips, remembering who I would like from the college basketball season, Paolo Banchero is a guy who's worked out or is a type of player that we've seen work out, a big playmaker who can score, who can dish on offense.
And we've always heard that he has great work ethic, too.
Yes.
First one in the gym, last one out of the gym. That's a huge – I know that's like – that makes me seem really old, right, I love that. But I do love that.
I mean, he went to Duke. People can – and here's the thing. Look, Mike Krzyzewski, we've seen sides of him over the last couple of years, his whole goodbye tour that he essentially threw himself and then acted like he didn't want to throw himself. It's gross. He has pretty high success rate with guys.
Exactly. That Paolo is like a kind of blue chip stock as far as like, the guy who went to a big school who looks like an NBA player, plays like an NBA player is going to be good. Where Chet Holmgren, we've never seen a guy that skinny who's come out of Gonzaga, who's that tall and has that skill set that he has where it is enticing, but also his body is just, it's so insane. It doesn't make sense watching.
Well, the good thing for Holmgren, right, and I'll play devil's advocate for a second, is the game is continuing to evolve, and the way a big man plays now is becoming increasingly different than what we've ever seen before. So the size isn't necessarily – it's not necessarily as important, but you can look at some of these playoff teams and see which teams had a guy that could get in the paint and rebound, which teams could be rim protectors and alter shots and stuff like that. Can Chet Holmgren be that guy for a team? I don't think so. Right. And so those are the differences in Draymond Green makes all the difference in the world for the Golden State Warriors and being able to run things in the paint. Why? Because he's got the strength and he's got the size. Maybe not the height, but he's got the body size. He's got the body type and he's got the strength to do it. Chet Holmgren can't be. There's just no world where I can talk myself into Holmgren.
Yeah.
This is my nightmare. That's my nightmare scenario is Jabari going number one, Oklahoma City zagging and going with Paolo Banchero number two, and then the Rockets have to go aw shucks into Chet Holmgren. And then hopefully they hit on a guy like hardcore at 17 and 26.
Seth Greenberg, who was on with The Wheelhouse, I believe, right, said that he actually agrees with us that Banchero is the most pro-ready.
Banchero might be the most ready player in the draft in terms of 6'10", 255, really skilled, terrific passer. Not a great defender, and that's a little concern when you're trying to develop an identity and, you know, reestablish a culture. But offensively, his offensive versatility is really good. Can pick and pop, can put him in an ISO. Terrific passer, like I said. You know, he can play off the elbow. He can short roll. He's really a really talented player. I can't imagine them moving off of that pick if he's available.
Yeah, and I trust Greenberg on that. And I like that he added in the part about defense, because that is something that he's been criticized for, and it's fair. How much would it matter in the NBA, and how much would it need to be worked on? I don't know, but I thought that was interesting.
Well, and so one of the things that he said is just when you hear guys like that talk about Paolo Banchero, and you hear them say all of the different things that a guy like that can do, what's the most valuable asset in the NBA today? It's versatility. How many different positions can you play? How many different positions can you guard? How many different things can you bring to a team? Like Joel Embiid, he is your perfect big man in the NBA in 2022. And it's not because he's huge and he can get in the paint and he can back people down, right? It's because he can do that, but he can also go out to the three-point line and shoot. He can also go into the high post and he can pass it out to people and he can distribute. It's all about versatility in the NBA today, because it's a positionless game. Like some guys
totally positionless.
Yeah, exactly. Like some guys lean towards some positions, but for the most part, it's positionless and guys just go where they fit, where it makes sense, and you build those systems around those guys. Paolo's a guy that could be either have a system built around him or fit into a system that's built around somebody else like Jalen Green. That's why I think he'd be perfect for the Rockets if he falls.
Versatility is important when you're looking for home insurance. You need a lot of options. So take your phone and talk to TGS. It doesn't need to be a hassle anymore finding an agent. I know it's annoying. TGS Insurance has a new system. It shops over 36 carriers. That's versatility, baby. It gives you a full quote in 15 seconds. And all you have to do is send a single text. So take your phone again. Text the word money, M-O-N-E-Y, to 232323. Their system is going to ask for your home address. You send it back. You get the full quote within 15 seconds. It's legit. The savings are legit. Their average customer from last year saved over $870 on home insurance. No one likes to shop for it, I know, but TGS makes it the easiest it's ever been. One more time, people, text money to 232323. Save big today.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
We don't get to see Trevor Lawrence be spicy very often. He's kind of, I think of Golden Retriever, maybe it's the hair, but he's just a nice guy, chill. I remember he had a quote from a magazine that he was in, a cover of a magazine, where he's like, yeah, I'm not the chip on the shoulder guy. I'm not going to manufacture that.
Right.
Like, Trevor Lawrence is just very relaxed. It's one of the reasons I think he's going to do a lot better with Doug Peterson as opposed to a coach in Ohio getting lap dances. But he tweeted and corrected Barstool. Barstool had a tweet and a story that said Trevor Lawrence turned his $24 million signing bonus into $9 million by getting it all in crypto. Trevor Lawrence quote tweeted that and said, did y'all confuse my FTX official signing bonus with my NFL one? Carry on. Corrected Barstool.
This is where we literally just got done talking about Dave Portnoy and Barstool earlier. And sometimes they have done things that are journalism adjacent.
Sorry, breaking news.
Oh, okay.
Sean Mapes is about to be a very happy man. Arch Manning has announced his commitment to play for the Texas Longhorns. How can it be? Arch Manning, son of Cooper. He has a lot of qualities of both of his uncles who played. He is the chosen one. Hook 'em horns. Well freaking done, Steve Sarkisian. Well done. This is awesome.
D the only good thing Steve Sarkisian's done at all. Okay.
There you go.
I
mean,
insufferable.
Hook 'em horns. So Arch Manning playing for the Texas Longhorns. I'm surprised.
So am I.
Are you really surprised?
I'm a little surprised.
I feel like, and I guess there is a little bit of surprise. My father-in-law is probably doing backflips in his living room right now after that. I'm not surprised. I felt like it was a foregone conclusion that he was going to end up in Texas. I think that they have everything set up for a guy like him with some of the draft or some of the recruiting classes that they've had. Not as high profile as we've seen before, but some of the receivers that are coming in, some of the youth that they have at both the receiver and like at their skill positions. I felt like it made sense for Arch to be there. Ugh, this is so just the worst. This is going to be my day right now, people. Arch Manning going to go to Texas, and the Rockets are going to be forced into drafting Chet Holmgren, and it's going to be a very cry intensive sports day for me, and I absolutely hate it. That's great for the Longhorns.
Great day for Longhorns fans.
Ick.
It is a great day. I can't wait.
Arch freaking Arch Manning.
Are you kidding me?
You know what?
And they got him over the two teams that played in the national championship.
Right. Yeah. Here's the thing. Here's what we need to happen. In a couple of years, Sam Ehlinger has developed. And he is the starting quarterback because Matt Ryan retires. So we have Sam Ehlinger, QB1 for the Indianapolis Colts.
I'm in.
Gross.
Somehow this guy falls to the Colts. And the call is made.
Sam Ehlinger gets, a bursa sack injury or whatever Peyton Manning had.
Two Longhorns.
Number one pick, and yeah.
Wow.
How long can the Texans stay bad for? Can we just like...
Right.
Four more years.
Four more years.
No, that's perfect. We suck this year. Whoever we draft blows it in their 3 years. Then we get the number one pick in 2026 or whatever. There we go.
Here's the perfect scenario. Davis Mills is just good enough to get the Texans out of the range of C.J. Stroud or Bryce Young. They have to draft another guy who doesn't work out, and maybe they don't even use a first-round pick on a quarterback. Maybe they go with another quarterback and they just roll with Davis Mills. Davis Mills doesn't work out for another couple of years. Then they kind of bring in retreads from other teams and try the Trubisky experiment, or they try the... what Mike Glennon bounced around for a while too, that type of experiment, right? Maybe it'll be Zach Wilson. Zach Wilson will bust with the Jets, and they'll be like Carolina taking on Sam Darnold will be like the Texans. Oh, maybe we can make Zach Wilson work. And then in 4 years, they can draft Arch Manning. That's what I'm looking for.
I mean, everybody has their evil plan right now. 1790 on the text line, Arch Manning versus UH coming up. I mean, this is really cool. I love them. I know you're shocked, but I'm excited to have a Manning in the state of Texas. I've been dreaming about this since I was in like eighth grade. I sound like one of those weirdos.
Yeah, no.
A little bit.
Following the recruiting, Arch Manning is like basically the only recruiting thing I've ever followed. I feel so gross because for most of the time I've been following, he's been like 16 years old. And I've been just like every picture where he's in, you know, burnt orange or he's throwing up the hook. You're always like, hell yeah, I love Arch. And you're like, he is a 16 or 17 year old kid. That's a little weird.
It's a little strange.
People are very strange too with how they address these children, because they are, just to be clear, children. They may look like grown men, but they're kids. When they make a choice that they don't like, right? It's like, how could you? Or F off. It's like, what? Don't ever be that person. You never want to be the oldest person in the bar, and you never want to be tweeting a child about where they decide to continue their education.
This makes it even more sad for me, because the height of Arch Manning at Texas is going to be when Texas joins the SEC.
It's going to be ridiculous.
And it's going to be Texas and Texas A&M in the same pod together in this new SEC pod system when they have 16 teams, and it's going to be freaking Arch Manning against us. Every year, and it's going to just, I hate it. I hate everything right now.
He has a little Case McCoy vibes to him.
Ooh.
He does.
And, you know, Case McCoy.
Case McCoy or Colt McCoy?
Both. I hope he plays like Colt, but he is the young of a, you know, football family.
Yeah, that's true.
Case McCoy.
I don't want
him, so.
Right.
Yeah, that's true.
He is the youngest, and, you know, his dad would have had a really good football career had he not injured his spine. Mm-hmm. His dad, Cooper, had some like spine issues. But when you look at the way he plays everything about him, his face, his mannerisms, he's definitely a Manning. And that's a lot of pressure. I mean, you're talking about your two uncles, four Super Bowls between the two of them. But this is a good day for Texas Longhorn fans, and this is a really exciting day, I think, if you're an SEC fan in general.
The best days to be a Texas Longhorn fan normally aren't in during the season, so this is very much very much par for the course. Where I'm very excited about the Longhorns on June 23rd.
Yeah, I have to turn my phone off now because my father-in-law and my brother are going to be texting me, trolling me nonstop, and so it's going to be super hurtful. I've already gotten six texts from them in the last 10 minutes, so I can't. I'm going to have to turn my phone off.
Hook 'em, baby. I did interrupt you, and I apologize. Trevor Lawrence calling out Barstool for getting some major facts wrong in a story.
Yeah, it's funny. A few segments ago, we literally talked about how Barstool is only kind of journalism adjacent, right? Like, Dave Portnoy is not a journalist. He's an entertainer. Well, this article is the perfect example of why they are not journalists, why they're entertainers. The numbers that they got for that article were just on a random tweet from some guy who tweeted about Trevor Lawrence losing that money based off of numbers that were done by somebody else that were wrong because they used the wrong signing bonus, because they used his actual NFL signing bonus instead of the signing bonus he got for the sponsorship deal from FTX, which FTX is a crypto platform. So naturally, his signing bonus for signing on with them to be a sponsor would
be
in crypto.
Sure.
And so since one person got it wrong, it's like the weirdest game of journalism telephone ever. The first person got the numbers wrong, which means the second person got the numbers wrong, and somebody from Barstool didn't want to do it. Literally took me 4 minutes or less to figure all this information out. And somebody from Barstool just didn't want to do enough of a deep dive into the numbers to see if this was true. They just took it for face value. They wrote a full article on it, making fun of Trevor Lawrence and how it's like, how can anybody question Tua Tagovailoa's decision-making when Trevor Lawrence is doing things like this? And it's hilarious to watch and Trevor Lawrence be like, yeah, y'all are wrong on this one. Which we never, like you said, we never hear anything from Trevor Lawrence. So I like him clapping back a little
bit. I like him clapping back. I like the personality. Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, Mike Tomlin has a certain opinion about somebody playing for the Steelers. Plus, we're going to do a little gambling. Let's gamble, shall we? That's next.
ESPN 97.5. Welcome back to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Arch Manning going to Texas, hook 'em horns. Number one overall college football recruit. Other suitors included Alabama, LSU, Georgia, Clemson, Virginia. But he has chosen the Lone Star State, the son of Cooper, the nephew, of course, of Eli and Peyton. So excited for that, excited for what he's going to look like in the SEC. Very excited to see that NIL money, baby. Ooh, it's going to be steep.
For a kid who doesn't need it at all.
But right. Doesn't need it.
It would be nice.
By any, and I'll go a step further. I think I remember hearing Eli on, it might have been Kyle Brandt's podcast. It was someone's podcast where he was talking about how NIL money, you know, could negatively affect college football, purists, blah, blah, blah. And I'm thinking, well, A, you guys never needed NIL money because your dad was famous and rich. Also, your nephew's going to make more NIL money than you could ever imagine. So
I can't even imagine what kind of NIL. Like, if Bijan Robinson got a Lamborghini deal.
Oh, my God.
He got the Lamborghini Austin deal. What is Arch Manning?
Arch Manning's going to be able to go to like space with Elon Musk.
He's going to get a SpaceX Tesla deal. He's going to have a whole fleet of Teslas and his own spaceship. That's what Arch Manning gets.
I feel good about Arch Manning because of the guidance around him. I think it's a very grounded family, but I think he'll be fine in that arena.
Yes, and normally I would be like, let's not get too excited. He hasn't actually like signed anything like firm. He's just kind of committed, but it's not pinned to paper in any way. He just tweeted something out. I normally, but this is the Manning family, the first family of football. I might buy a paid Manning jersey. I don't know.
Wow.
I don't know what I'm gonna do.
You just made me really excited.
I feel like that'd be all in on the Mannings all at once because they never would, you know, give their word about something and back out. I feel like I can trust them.
They actually
are we the Chargers in this?
They actually wouldn't. You're right about that, and I. At times, have thought that actually the NFL maybe was too nice to the Mannings. Like, I am aware enough to understand that. But I'm excited to see what this kid can do.
I'm gonna put horns. I'm gonna put this energy out into the world. I hope that the Longhorns suck this year and the Aggies go to the national championship. So Arch flips his commitment. Doesn't even go to Alabama or Georgia. He's like, nope, you know what? There's one number one team in the SEC. I'm going to go play for Jimbo.
You think he would turn down all the NIL money to play for free in College Station?
You want to talk about teams that have NIL money. Let's go, baby.
Jimbo Fisher says no one signed an NIL deal.
Let's be honest. I've already said I'm a realistic Aggie fan. We know that there's all sorts of NIL money out there to be grabbed over in College Station. I'm just saying, Arch. Yes, spaceships are nice, but we could give you a ranch. I don't know. We got nothing.
He's gonna have the prettiest girls, the most NIL deals. I am not worried about Arch Manning for the rest of his life. All right, so Mike Tomlin, somebody known among coaches and in the football world as somebody with a lot of integrity, a great coach, great leader. But he also has some personality. And here's what he had to say about the possible addition of a certain former NFL player.
Because AB was on the show.
Yeah.
And he expressed that he would definitely love to return to Pittsburgh.
Y'all know that ain't happening.
We gotta ask.
Y'all know that ain't.
You gotta ask. Don't tire though.
It's full circle.
Yeah. But you know, in terms of putting a helmet on and running out of the tunnel and playing ball and stuff like that, man. You know, he's moved on. We've moved on.
I love it. That was the Pivot Podcast, by the way, to give proper credit. Mike Tomlin is proof that you can be, and it's a delicate dance, but you can be honest and still be funny and lighthearted. He didn't say, oh, it's absolutely not going to happen. The guy's a jerk. He's a crazy person. I don't like him. I blah, 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 blah. He was just like, y'all know that's not happening.
Right. Right. And then he's and he's really, really – this is why I love Mike Tomlin. Seriously, if you're a fan of football, and no matter how you feel about the Steelers, if you're a fan of football, go listen to this entire interview with Mike Tomlin. It is some of the best listening and viewing experience that I've had all offseason. He was already one of my favorite coaches in the NFL. He's been top three, top four for me for a while. I love Andy Reid, some of the other guys. I think this solidified and vaulted him to number one for me. I think Mike Tomlin, when you're looking for a head coach, Mike Tomlin is the best example of a head coach in the NFL right now. And he is so wildly entertaining, but he's so judicious about it too.
Totally.
Right? He's like, look, we've moved on. He's moved on. But like the tone of voice says everything, right? He doesn't have to say it in the words. It's just the way he says it. You're like, no, there's no world where Antonio Brown is going to come back and bring his crazy, especially not when they have the number three wide receiver in the NFL in Chase Claypool.
It's a great point.
Yeah, there's no way Antonio Brown.
But he still managed. It's why, you know, people think that he's so classy, but also so honest and such a great leader.
Uh-huh.
All right, let's do a little gambling. We have started a gambling segment weekly. So many of you asked. So many of you are engaged in the gambling world. You're on all of the apps and whatnot. We'll probably do some gambling and some betting odds tomorrow on Arch Manning. Maybe we'll do some NIL deals. Maybe talk about how long we think he'll last to Texas before possibly going to the NFL.
How many national championships is he going to win
at
Texas?
Our resident Texas Longhorns alumni has a thing to say.
Sean, we can't be friends for like 2 days. I just can't do it.
I feel like every time we work together, like a grenade rolls in that makes us like have to, you know. It drives a wedge between
them. This is my payback for being as insufferable as I was on Monday after the Aggies beat the Longhorns in the College World Series.
So, of course,
yeah, exactly.
It's football season.
Yeah. The College World Series happened. We win a baseball game. You guys get Arch Manning. Those two things do not feel equal.
As we talk gambling, let's do the 2022 NBA draft. First overall picks appropriate since the NBA draft, of course, is tonight. All right. The Rockets with the number three pick. It's been widely reported that they're going to pick Paolo Banchero. Right now, Jabari Smith Jr., this is first overall pick. We know that he's favored. That's per Woj of ESPN. Minus 240. Paolo Banchero plus 260. Chet the Jet Holmgren plus 350. Does this sound right to you guys?
Yeah, that sounds about right. That sounds about right where Jabari is the favorite, but not an overwhelming favorite like he was earlier in the process.
Oklahoma City's unpredictable. That's why I don't think there's a bigger gap. They keep things in-house like we talked about earlier.
Yeah, what's really funny to see is it kind of helping with the Pelissero stuff. The audio that we heard earlier talking about like or Woj's tweet saying that the top three is fully solidified is seeing the difference in the odds between Smith, Banchero, and Holmgren at number one versus Jaden Ivey or Shaden Sharp. Like we it's -240 for Jabari Smith, right? Just like you said, +260, right. +350. And then it goes from +350 with Chet Holmgren at number one to +10,000 for Jaden Ivey at number one, which is wild to me because I actually, some people were talking about it in the Twitch chat earlier. Nobody's talking about Jaden Ivey. If for some reason we're sitting there at number, the Rockets are sitting there at number three and Banchero and Jabari Smith are off the board, there's a part of me that would take Jaden Ivey over Chet Holmgren. So I'm a little surprised that the odds aren't a little bit better for Ivey. They definitely get markedly better for the second overall pick. That's where Jaden Ivey's numbers improve substantially, and then at number three as well. But
the third overall pick, of course, is what we're most worried about in Houston. Yes. So let's check out the odds on that. Paolo Banchero, it's been widely reported by the Rockets insiders and people that talk to folks in the building. So it's no shock that's -300 for that. Chet, the Jet, Holmgren, +500. Jabari Smith Jr., we certainly don't expect him to fall to three, but right. That's +700. And then Jaden Ivey, somebody that some of our listeners and Twitch watchers were asking about, +900. That's where it gets a little steeper.
Yeah, I would just take Jaden Ivey over Chet Holmgren. But this is where I start to feel a little bit better about the Rockets' chances of getting Banchero at number three. It's not the Woj tweets. It's not anything like that. Now, the odds for Banchero at number one have changed substantially over the last few weeks, a lot because of the leaks that you were talking about, right? But the fact that he's still -300 to go number three overall, and I hate the fact that he's jumped Holmgren to, in odds to go number one overall, but he didn't jump Chet Holmgren in odds to go number two overall. The odds changed a little bit, but I'm feeling good about that. But the fact that he is still -300 to go number three. But if I'm a betting man, and I am not for very good reasons, I lose every time I do, but I do like to watch all the gambling that everybody else does. I like to live my gambling life vicariously through all the degenerate friends that I have that actually do all the gambling, so I don't have to lose money. But if I were a betting man, I wouldn't. Maybe I'd put money on Jabari number one, but I wouldn't even touch this top three right now. You have no idea what's going to happen with the Thunder, and because you don't know what's going to happen with the Thunder, you have no idea what's going to happen with the Rockets.
Yeah, it's the worst possible combination where everyone thinks that it's so locked in, so there's not really great odds in any direction, but also you have the wild card of the Thunder, who can really throw this draft in a couple different directions. So there's kind of like, best case scenario, you win, but you're not getting great odds.
Right.
But then there's a chance that you're just wildly off.
You know, if there were one first round pick that I would say yes, put money on this. If I would do it, I would say Jaden Ivey at number four. It's not a lock, but I think it's pretty close to being that. It's -210 for Jaden Ivey at number four, which isn't crazy, but I think he is pretty much a lock to go number four.
Either
for sure.
Either to the Kings or someone trading up to get him.
Right. Exactly.
Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, what celebrity fun fact has blown your mind? Because I had one yesterday, and oh boy, I went down a rabbit hole. Let us know what celebrity fact you found out that blew your mind. Maybe it was about an athlete or a sports team. 713-780-3776. And we'll get to that after the break. That's next.
ESPN 97.5. Breaking down the Houston sports scene with V and Pauly G on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, something blew my mind yesterday. Blew my mind. And I have a pretty old soul, but at the end of the day, whatever. I was born in 1995, sue me. So I read an article about Martin Sheen talking about how he regretted using a stage name. I never knew that he had a stage name. I thought his real name was Martin Sheen. Turns out his real name is Ramon Estevez. Mind blown. So I always knew that Charlie Sheen and Emilio Estevez were related. I thought they were either half brothers, like they had different dads,
right?
Or they were stepbrothers because they had different last names. Emilio Estevez, I assumed, was, you know, had some Hispanic blood in him. Charlie Sheen, going to be honest, I just thought he was white. So I thought they were stepbrothers or half brothers. I find out by reading this article, the two of those guys are full brothers. Charlie Sheen, his real name is Carlos Estevez.
Yeah.
Emilio Estevez, His real name, of course, is Emilio Estevez. So what this article talked about was how Martin Sheen said he regretted, quote unquote, kind of Americanizing his name. He wishes he would have stuck with Ramon Estevez because that's what's on his driver's license, birth certificate. It's literally just a stage name. His son, Charlie, a.k.a. Carlos, ended up following in his footsteps. And his son, Emilio, was like, nah, I'll just be who I am. Mind blown. Charlie Sheen and Emilio Estevez, full brothers. Who would have thought?
Weren't they in a movie together, too? I think they were in the movie where they were like trash men, Emilio Estevez and Charlie Sheen. I think that was where they were like trash workers or something like that. I can't remember. That's all they said.
I just remember Night at the Roxbury where they're like, yeah. Emilio Estevez.
Yeah. See, I do know, I did know that, but it's like, it was like random chance that I found that. Or maybe my dad told me one time. I was
You're 10 years older than me. Wow, so it makes.
How dare you age
No,
me
it makes
like
sense
that.
That you would know that because nobody when I tweeted this, everybody was like, oh, well, everybody knew that in the 80s. Wasn't in the 80s. Was not born in the 80s.
Technically only 9 years old.
So, okay. What celebrity fun fact or athlete fun fact blew you guys' mind?
I have two. Okay. I have two. These are both recent for me, too. Because Stranger Things, the newest season of Stranger Things has come out. We're about to get part two of season four of Stranger Things. And then there's another. The Boys came out recently. The new season of The Boys. I don't know how I've watched The Boys and not realized this, and Stranger Things and not realized this, but the girl who plays Robin in Stranger Things, if you've watched it, she's the one who worked at the ice cream place next to Steve. She's the new girl who showed up last season, Robin. That's Maya Hawke. Her parents are Ethan Hawke and Uma Thurman.
Wow.
Had no idea. Yeah, they're both of these actors are children of Hollywood royalty. So her parents are Ethan Hawke, who we just saw as the villain in Moon Knight on Disney Plus. I'm about to nerd out all over the place. Love these nerdy shows.
Men at Work, by the way, the text line passionately tells us.
Yeah. Oh, Men at Work. That's right. I knew there was a movie.
You don't remember Men at Work?
You don't remember? Oh, that. I'm sorry. We knew that in the 80s. Like, come on. Get out of here. But yeah, she's the daughter of Uma Thurman and Ethan Hawke, which I thought was really cool. So the actor who plays Huey in The Boys, his name is Jack Quaid. He's the son of Dennis Quaid and Meg Ryan.
Wow.
And when you look at him, if you look up a picture of Jack Quaid, he is literally the perfect mixture of those two after you look at him. He's got his dad's eyes. He's got a lot of his mom's facial features. But when you find that out, I'm like, oh, my God, I can see both of those actors in him. But both of them doing Robin is awesome. She's such a great addition as a character.
I didn't even know Uma Thurman and Ethan Hawke were married at one time.
I didn't either.
She's cute.
Yeah, she went to Juilliard and everything. She's probably one of the best actors on the show, which makes sense because of her parents. Plus, she went to Juilliard. But then Jack Quaid, he's been great on The Boys. I mean, this new season of The Boys has been really incredible, and he's one of the main characters. But yeah, that blew me away when I found out that both of them were just these great actors on these great streaming-only TV shows, and they're the children of Hollywood royalty.
That is mind-blowing. Sean, what fun fact about a celebrity or athlete made you go, what?
Tim Allen, voice of Buzz Lightyear. Not the new Buzz Lightyear, but the old Buzz Lightyear. In 1978, was arrested for possession of 1.4 pounds of cocaine.
It's one of my favorite stories.
You didn't know that? No. So wait, so you knew he was the voice of...
I knew he was Buzz Lightyear. I knew he was in some sitcom.
Well, guess what, Sean?
I didn't know he was moving work.
Back in the 80s, we knew about Tim Allen, okay? Yeah, I've read that story a lot. It's crazy how much he was into. Like, he was just kind of minorly into a massive drug-selling ring. In the
70s. Wow.
And that was before he got into stand-up, or like right at the early stages of when he was starting to get into stand-up. He eerily, his mugshots of when he was arrested, he eerily looks a lot like my dad at the same time in those pictures, because he and my dad are about the same age. And when I first saw it, I'm like, oh my God, dad? So it was kind of weird. But I'm a huge Tim Allen fan, just from Home Improvement. It's one of my favorite TV shows of all time.
That was a good one. It was a solid one.
I'm so sad that it's not on Disney Plus yet. They had like a lot of distribution legal problems, and they just closed those cases like a year or two ago. We'll probably see it at some point. Anyway, that's just my Home Improvement fandom coming through.
Julia Roberts being married to Lyle Lovett back in the 80s tripped me up, as well as Cindy Crawford. Her first husband was Richard Gere from Pretty Woman.
Really?
At Richard Gere, the hamster rumor. You remember that? So, there's a couple of celebrity facts that have blown my mind, but Charlie Sheen and Emilio Estevez being full brothers. Somebody mentioned Pee Wee Herman's excursion. Yeah, I think we knew about
that. I knew about
that's pretty well documented, I feel like.
We knew what that we knew about that. Yeah. Which celebrity fun fact blew your mind?
I looked up some celebrity fun fact, like just went to the trashiest website I can find. Kesha claims she slept with a ghost. I don't know how that's a fun fact, but
good for her. I hope that was good.
Harry Styles has four nipples. Fun fact.
No.
Please. No way.
There's not any proof. There's no pictures or anything. But this is from thedelite.com.
Yeah, I don't know why the computer has viruses all over it now.
I don't care. Ashton Kutcher has webbed toes.
I feel like none of this is true.
Ashton Kutcher has webbed toes.
This is the offshoot website of the National Enquirer.
All right, and with that, we transition into our garbage time segment.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
All the more reason not to like Tom Brady. It was revealed that he had a certain way that he would haze the rookies for the NFL. Former NFL running back Fred Taylor was on the Pivot podcast, and he explained what Brady would do to haze the rookies. He would drive up the price of dinner. Quote, when I was in New England, the entire team went out on the rookies. It was 10 to 12 rookies or whatever might be in that class. All I know is that bill would come to $50,000 or $60,000 because Tom would come in there and buy $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 bottle of wine, take one sip, quit it, and say goodnight.
That's insane. I actually saw Torrey Smith tweeted about this yesterday. So he talked about how, like, the rookie hazing that he had, he was glad that he had veterans on his team that wouldn't haze him, specifically called out Anquan Boldin, who, like, the hazing wasn't that bad. They didn't do the dinner thing specifically. And he talked about this, and I think he made a really good point. You're talking about 20, 21, 22 yes. year olds who make a lot of money. Like, the first thing you're going to teach them is to just blow their money in a $50,000 dinner like that and not teach them financial responsibility. Yeah. Rookie hazing is fine. I'm totally fine with that. Especially, you've seen guys have had to shave their heads into weird things.
Fun or stuff.
Yeah,
fun
carry
stuff.
Carry luggage
do
for the veterans.
Do karaoke is what the Indiana right. Pacers would do.
But
yeah.
The dinner thing specifically bothers me. Like, I probably would have had, either my teammates wouldn't have liked me or I would have had to fight people because if they would have racked up $50,000, I'm like, we're doing split checks, right? Because I'm a cheap person in general, like same. In my normal life. So there's no way if somebody racked up, I'll pay $1,000, $2,000 for myself to splurge on the $1 million deal I just got. But if somebody's ordering like Cavassier and all sorts of like and just nothing but like rib. Oh, I have 16 ribeye steaks that I'm going to take home now. No, you're not doing. You can pay for them. Have fun. Your wife is Giselle. Like, what are you doing to me right now? I'm not paying $50,000 for this dinner. I hate that.
And it's the taking one sip out of
that's what makes it the jerk.
That's what rubs me the wrong way. Right. If he actually was just getting absolutely hammered on the rookie's dime, go for it. But yeah, the fact that it's like, it's just so douchey of him to do.
It is
it's
super douchey, and it underscores everything that we already know about Tom Brady.
And Paul's not here to defend him.
006, which I love.
Good. He
0061 says, I didn't know Eddie Murphy and Charlie Murphy were brothers.
Yeah.
There you go.
The whole stories from all the stories from Dave Chappelle are about Charlie Murphy hanging out with his brother Eddie Murphy and getting into trouble and into
if
fights.
If you know who Charlie Murphy is, you have to know you these brothers with so Eddie Murphy.
They look so much alike. Like when
they
you see,
are twins.
Yeah.
They're not twins, but they look like twins.
Yeah.
But hey, no shame to you for not knowing that.
Yeah. Back in the 80s.
Yeah.
Back in the 80s, we all do that.
2000s. When
Love
Chappelle
is dead. Bad news. Love is dead.
Okay.
Kendall Jenner and Devin Booker have split up.
Oh, shut.
Another one bites the dust. Sean looks devastated.
Oh, my God. This is like the opposite of the Arch Manning thing.
Yeah. I built you up and then I knocked you down.
Yeah, what? Oh, man.
We should have seen this coming because Devin Booker couldn't even hold on to the ball in that Mavericks series. So what would made us think he could keep the rock in his relationship with Kendall Jenner?
I feel like Kendall Jenner does like ride the stock market of how these NBA stars
players?
Are.
Who's
are
next? So who does she go to next after Devin Booker?
I mean, it has to be somebody and up and come. Maybe whoever's drafted number one overall tonight.
Well, no. Because
maybe she's
a
cougar.
They haven't proved it yet. I'm going to say it's Luka. Luka's got that
He's
shine.
He's way too nerdy.
You're working. Are you working as Luka's wingman right
no,
now?
No, no. I'm just saying. He's a pretty looking dude. He's got all that shine on him now. His stock is up. I feel like Luka might be the next guy.
I was going to say, like, Jordan Poole or something.
Ooh, Jordan Poole's a good one, yeah, too. I really like
she
that.
She just watched on TV a bunch.
Okay.
Their Kardashian curse continues. All right, that has been a show. Vanessa and Gallant, we appreciate
John Beard. That's my new name, everybody.
Wow, I did not stick the landing there. Josh Beard filling in for Paul Gallant. He will be here again tomorrow for Vanessa, for Josh Beard and Sean Mapes. Have a good day. You got the Killer Bees up next.
This is ESPN 97.5, Real Fun Sports.